This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. My name is Steve, and joining me on this discussion of Iowa's greatest musical exports is Kelly. Kelly, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing pretty well, hanging out with the dog and talking to you. We are going to talk about some very different music over the next hour.
Yep.
All right. For those of you out there who may not know what we do, here's our deal. We break down song lyrics and we ask the hard questions and we get to the deeper meanings, or sometimes I just slander Dido. I don't know. Can't call it.
Poor Dido. This is going to go on forever.
Yes. It's part of our canon now. She cannot avoid us. I will go down with this ship.
Exactly.
First up this week is a song from the 2006 album, This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. This is Alicia by Hold for Swank. Some of you out there may be asking, Steve, who the hell is Hold for Swank? They are a band based out of Iowa, and as I mentioned briefly last week, there was a period of time where their music was commissioned by various networks, MTV being one of them, and they would often use some of the instrumentals as bumpers for things in their TV shows. One that comes to mind that I'm going to share with the listeners real quick. By the way, you can follow them at Hold for Swank on Twitter. There was, Kelly, are you familiar with the MTV True Life series?
Yes, I used to love those. Like, I forgot about it.
Yes, like True Life, you know, I'm a dumpster fire, or, you know, whatever.
That's legit what every episode could have been called.
Exactly. Well, there was one that was like True Life, I am a like sexual addict or something like that. Oh. And there's this guy who is struggling with internet imagery, so to speak. Try to keep it kid-friendly here on Songs with Friends. But anyway, he's looking at the pictures and looking at the pictures, and he's like, well, he's talking to the producer there like it's nothing. He's like, yeah, I don't think looking at it's going to be enough anymore. And as he excuses himself to go to the bathroom to handle his business, a Hold for Swank song starts playing.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of my favorites, musical ribs.
Wow. Remember that, too.
I remembered it because right away at the time, he had a message board where the band did, and I went there immediately. Like, guys, you're not going to believe what I just saw. I picked Alicia because I'll give you guys a little bit of a behind the curtain here. I've been aware of these guys for a long time, mainly through Eric Nelson, the lead singer of the band. He is a friend of mine, full disclosure. And really, he was one of the voices on the first podcast I listened to, the DEJ Audio Experience, through the Pro Wrestling Torch site. It is still available, I think, through the archives for VIP members. And that podcast eventually spawned on to become Stunt Granny, which their own Kevin DeFranco is friend of the show. Alicia is one of those songs that they actually put out a video for. And I've often wondered, like, is this song about a real person? And I've never been brave enough to ask Eric directly. I actually have theories of who the song is about, which we'll get into here in a minute.
Oh, no. You're going to be slandering another person today.
It's not a real person. I should say a real person, but not anyone we would know.
Okay.
Let's get into it. First off, I was not prepared. Eric, thank you for not making these lyrics easily accessible. I had to type them out by hand and send them to Kelly's DM here so that we would have them for the show.
So I don't even know if these are accurate.
There's one possible hiccup, but I'm giving you the 98% accurate retelling of Hold for Swank's Alicia. All right, let's get started. I overhear them say your name, talking about your new tattoo. So right away, he's creeping Lionel Richie style.
Oh, yeah.
Like, first off, who talks about that kind of thing in public? If you're in public with your people, are you talking about someone else in their tattoo? Like, how does that come up?
I don't know. Well, a lot of people are nosy.
And granted, like I
no
said,
shame.
Like I said, the band is in Iowa, so there's a dearth of things to do there.
Somebody gets never been there.
I've been twice. Once with Eric, once without him. That's how much I loved Iowa. I went back even though he wasn't there.
What'd you go for?
I went to see the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum in Waterloo, Iowa.
Oh, okay.
They have a big Hall of Fame induction every July, I think it is. I encourage anyone who's even got a passing interest in the history of wrestling to check that out at least once. It's a fun weekend.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on, he says, you listen to Trio and you've seen them a time or two. Kelly, are you familiar with the Trio reference here?
No, I should have looked that up. I didn't know. I know it's a band, but I couldn't think of what they sing.
Now, I believe this is in reference to Alkaline Trio, who was kind of a big deal in that kind of just below the surface alternative early 20s, were punky but were poppy kind of sound.
Oh, okay.
Back around this time frame. So right away, all Eric knows about this woman is she has a tattoo and she's seen Alkaline Trio at least twice. Your hair was pink, but you outgrew that 2 years ago. And your best friend pierced your eyebrow for you. That would look so hot on you. First off, I got to ding him for the rhyming you with you. Eric, you're better than this, man. Come on, brother.
I'm not going to give him any crap because I don't know how to write songs, but...
All right, this is where I start to build my theory that this may be about someone who I don't know, but I'm familiar with. The singer, Pink, spelled P, exclamation point, N-K.
Oh.
Her real name is Alicia.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about this. And I really like Pink. I love her. Huh.
This would have been about the time she stopped actually making her hair pink and just... being herself.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, Eric, if you're in love with Pink, reach out to us. Let us know.
She's unfortunately married, but you know.
Eric is also possibly unfortunately married. I won't.
That maybe came out wrong.
Carly, if you heard that, I'm just kidding. So yeah, I'm curious if this is a celebrity crush situation now.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even catch that at all. Very much could be.
So here's where he just loses all his rhyme points. Alicia? I don't know anyone named Alicia. Maybe I should. Alicia? I don't know anyone named Alicia. Maybe I should. So at the very least, he's heard the name of a girl who has a tattoo and listens to punk pop that he does not know in this small-ass Iowa town. And I'm assuming it's the kind of town where everyone knows everybody.
Yeah.
Which leads credence to my theory that perhaps it's Pink Alicia. Maybe he didn't overhear a conversation. Maybe he overheard, you know, E! On television or something.
Yeah, MTV News.
He heard Gideon Yago talking about Alicia.
That's got to be it, because he clearly doesn't know this person. He's like stalking her. Yeah,
now,
I don't know, online.
Something that steers me from that theory, though, is by 2006, Pink had enough money to get her eyebrows professionally pierced if that's what she wanted to do. It wouldn't be an ice cube to the eyebrow in the back of a trailer park situation with a safety pin.
Yeah. But she seems like the kind of person that might just do that anyways, because why not? You know,
I cannot rule that out. She is kind of a wild card.
Mm-hmm, kind of a wild card.
All right, here's where he wins my heart. I ran home to my stereo, couldn't escape fast enough from school. Now, I don't know if he would have been college age here, or if this is like a flashback situation. But the timelines don't add up for that. I don't think when Eric was high school age, which would have been the late 90s, the Alkaline Trio was much of a thing yet. But anyways, he made her a mixtape just to prove to you I was cool. Kelly, have you ever received a mixtape from a boy?
Yes.
Did you think they were cool?
Absolutely.
Look at that. It works.
A playlist now, I guess you could call it. Yes, every time. Cool.
Yeah. Playlists are a little less labor intensive.
No, I know. It's like, I mean, come on. Like, to make a mixtape back in the day, especially like songs off the radio, man, like, yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Like,
so,
like a CD even, a burn CD, you know, that's like a half hour of your time. You know, that's,
yeah. Yeah.
But an actual mixtape, especially if you go double-sided.
Oh.
That's,
yeah.
That's 80 minutes of just recording time.
I would have married that guy. Yeah, 80 minutes of that? No. I don't know. I think I might have got a one-sided mixtape. Now I feel a little cheated.
You got the half-ass mixtape. That is, man, my heart hurts for you, Kelly.
Oh, yeah, well, story of my life.
you got to side A of the mixtape.
I wish I had it. Yeah, maybe I might be misspeaking, but I feel like I just got a side A. I did have a guy write me a song one time and sing it. That was pretty cool. So, I mean, that's better than a mixtape. So,
yo, I don't know if you have his contact info. We got to have him on the show.
The guy that sang me the song.
Yeah, we got to review that song.
Oh, I'll think about it. See, I do have his contact info.
See, nobody ever wrote a song for me, or I would make that sacrifice for the show. I'm just saying.
Well, I think that's more like a guy for a girl. Like, this is back in the 90s. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just felt like that was, you know, all the guys trying to learn how to play guitar, and you know what I mean? So it was very sweet. It was very sweet.
This is slightly off topic. Did you watch much of King of Queens?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There was one episode where, for some reason, Doug was like entangled with his high school girlfriend. And he sang her a song. I don't know why. I can't remember the context. But I just remember one of the lyrics was something about sitting next to her in Spanish. And she was all woman and he was only mannish.
That's accurate.
I just thought that was an amazing line.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I did hand out a mixtape or two back in my day. And yeah, it always was just an afternoon of just shit. Just sitting there in front of the damn dual deck radio, making it happen.
Yeah.
In this case, though, Eric doesn't even know this Alicia. And he's making her mixtapes just to prove his worth.
Yeah.
Which leads us to the next. I couldn't deliver it, dripping with sweat, so nervous and stressed. My God. Dude, I've been there. Holy shit. Like, I say I made mixtapes one time. Like, I didn't even have balls enough to say that's what it was. Like, I gave her some kind of box, and the tape just happened to be in there. And then later I denied. I'm like, oh no, I was looking for that. Now you can have it, I guess.
Oh my God. Why?
You know how it is. You know, you don't.
No,
quite,
I don't.
Yeah, you're right. You don't. God damn it.
Women have the huge upper hand in that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, wanting to shoot, but not quite wanting to put yourself out there. So you try to leave yourself some wiggle room. And,
I legitimately feel bad for men in that sense, because I think for the most part, women are pursued and you don't really have to, you know, then you know someone is after you, so you're not fearing that rejection. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of sucks for you guys.
Yeah, plans changed. but here's where Eric moves firmly into creeper territory here. Drove around for an hour. I guess it would help if I knew your address.
Oh, my.
Yes. My man is driving around Fort Dodge, Iowa, just looking for someone with pink tips and a freshly pierced eyebrow, possibly with a tattoo.
That person had to stand out.
This reads like an Amber Alert.
That's awesome.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's, keep in mind, you know, if this would have been when he was in high school, this would have been late 90s. If Google was a thing, we certainly hadn't mastered it yet.
Oh, yeah, no. No, no. Now you pull up Snapchat, you can see where someone's at. You know what I mean? It's like, shit, you don't have to wonder where they're at.
They're taking all the guesswork out of stalking.
Yeah. Yes, very easy now.
You don't have to teach drama at the YMCA anymore.
Nope, you do not.
Find potential partners. All right. Then this is the part where I may have misread or misheard, but this sounds like he's already pretty much, I can't even think of the word, I'm admitting defeat is what I'm trying to get at here. When we don't work, I'm like, well, damn.
I already know this isn't going to work.
It could have been if. It could have been and. I heard a win. I listened to it 3 times. Eric, if I'm wrong, you got my number, man. Get at me.
Yeah.
When we don't work, I've got the memories, got the images. Yeah, I've got the words I heard to try to get me through. He doesn't even have real memories with this person. He's got eavesdropping on a conversation of this beautiful gal with possible trio bumper stickers on her car and an infected eyebrow piercing.
Well, it's sort of like I've seen people joke about this, like my online Instagram crush got married and I'm like super sad, you know, because it's like you're just loving this person from afar. They really don't even know you exist. It's like that's kind of creepy, but I've heard people say stuff like that before.
Hey, that's a real thing in this digital world we live in. My closest friends in the world, you know, I've hung out with these guys, most of them just one weekend. Yeah, but we are in constant contact and have been for, God, like 6-7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts just how it all works now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
You talk to them. I'm talking about there are people who just go on someone's Instagram they've never actually spoken to, and they just like, you know, following their life, and they feel like they're like, you know, into this person, but they've never actually spoken to them or.
Nah, chat. That's weird shit. I'm not endorsing that behavior. All right. Then he pretty much says, I let my imagination get away from me. Why can't I see? But then he ends it a little tricky here. Of course, you'll feel the same way the day you meet me, too.
Oh, wow.
That is, this reads like one of those Tiffany fans from that documentary I mentioned early on in the Songs of Friends run. Oh, yeah, she likes me. She just doesn't know it yet. As soon as she gets to know me, I'm sure she'll see I'm a great guy.
She's going to totally be in love with me once she meets me. No pressure. Ugh.
As he's sending care packages to the MTV studios on TRL day, that he knows she's going to be there. Dear Pink.
She's already riding motorcycles around with Carrie Hart at this point, so probably.
He's taking meticulous notes when that MTV Cribs comes on to see if he can get an address on the front door.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wait. Yeah, because she was on, what was that show? Was it Punked? She was on there where she punked her husband or boyfriend? Never mind.
Did they call that segment Pinked?
Oh, good one. They might have, actually.
See, these are the hard-hitting questions we ask here on Songs with Friends.
I know. It's important to know. Yes.
All right. I think we've milked just about as much as we're going to get out of Alicia there. Oh, something that has come up in conversation many times in the last 10 years is why Eric didn't try to rhyme anything with Alicia. And he has since sent me a list of words. And sometimes in concert, he will substitute Moesha.
Oh, he's got...
There's Batista.
There you go.
Also, you can use Barista there.
Oh, then this is awesome.
He wrapped up with 3 sheetsa and cheese pizza. And I added Propecia, which helps with baldness.
Oh my gosh. You guys really went into this.
Yeah, I gave him the Iggy that we were going to cover one of his songs, and I called him on this lack of rhyming, and he immediately atoned. Like, nah, man, I've got a list. I've been working on this. This ghost has haunted me for a long time, Steve. Let's
have you ever seen
it.
Them play, like, live?
No, I have not.
Okay.
it's my understanding that they do a bunch of awesome covers live. So I like their original stuff, but I would also like to hear them do Living on a Prayer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love seeing bands do like that, do covers with their own stuff. It's fun.
And they also do frequently featured here on Songs with Friends. The Outfield Your Love is one of the songs in their set list.
Oh, creepy. No, I'm just kidding. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not helping the case for my man here. I'm aware of that.
People love that song. I heard it in the grocery store the other day. Like, it's like, I can't even look at it the same, thanks to Rich, but you know.
Yeah, music in the grocery store is one of those things that kind of led to the formation of this show. I was in a gas station about a year ago and Come On Eileen came on. And I snickered to myself just because, haha, you know, you're Coming On Eileen.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I actually listened to it when I got home. Like, oh no, that's exactly what the song is about. Yes, I think subliminally that got the wheels turning to where we are now.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yes. Let's move on to a more serious selection. This is Kelly's pick this week from the 2008 album All Hope Is Gone. This is Snuff by Slipknot. Kelly, why did you bring Slipknot before us?
Well, actually, and I don't, had you heard the song before?
I had never heard the song in my life.
Okay, yeah. So it's not, to me, it's not like a standard Slipknot, you know, like Slipknot, you know, it's not like that, you know, the song. And I don't want to say it's like a power ballad or something. I have no idea. But it's going to sound weird, I guess. I just love it. I mean, it's extremely, to me, it's a very painful song and it's very almost gut wrenching, but I just think it's a great song. But I stumbled upon, like, I don't know, there was Corey Taylor. He was doing like a concert in England and it was just acoustic. And he was like, you know, sang all these songs. And when he sang this, I was like, man, did you watch that one?
Did I send it? Yes, I did.
I was like, man, it was like gut wrenching to me. So I don't know. I had heard it so many times, but I hadn't really thought, you know, I kind of thought what it meant to me, but I just thought it'd be, I don't want to say fun to do, but I wanted to get into it. So
yeah, this song is a punch to the damn heart.
Yes.
I was not familiar with this at all. As far as I knew, all of Slipknot's music was like Wait and Bleed.
Yeah.
You're
probably kind of scared when I picked it. You're like, what is happening?
Exactly. I mean, granted, I just made us do Jay-Z and Memphis Bleak, so I was in no position to be choosy. But I'm like, yes. All right, you know, don't get me wrong, Slipknot is great at what they do. It's just not really my thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I recognize how technically difficult just even the drum parts are to a lot of their heavier stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And they have like 12,000 band members and, you know, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. It's just lot going on.
I just remember like the rubber mask and all that shit. And,
yeah.
And then I hear this and it's completely different. And it's actually a fantastic song. I'm glad that you introduced me to this.
Mm-hmm.
But I will let you lead off the lyrics here.
Okay. All right. So we'll start off, bury all your secrets in my skin, come away with innocence and leave me with my sins. The air around me still feels like a cage and love is just a camouflage for what resembles rage again. So I don't know, just kind of starting off with this, I mean, to me, what I think, and you know, it's like when you're getting to know someone and you feel like you can just, you know, bear all your secrets, speak to them, tell them anything. And maybe I was, you know, I think he's kind of, I think he might've wrote this song. I know he's definitely, you know, struggled with like depression and addiction. And I was just thinking, you know, maybe someone that's not happy or they're depressed and they find someone that makes them feel something, you know, that you can find someone that makes you feel something again. And I think that's kind of neat. We're going to see that go south, in my opinion. But, you know, and then I think the, well, what do you have to, you have anything to add yet?
Yeah, it definitely goes south. It goes south like fucking Buddy Holly's plane.
Yeah, it's real quick. I'm trying to give the beginning of a...
Yeah, I just checked and it looks like Corey Taylor is one of these songwriters. There are 9 people credited here.
Oh, gosh.
Well,
okay.
You figure though, that's, like I said, it's multi-instrument. So a lot of that is figuring out the chords and the arrangements and whatnot.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know who is responsible for each lyric, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like to me, right away, I think just the tone of the song musically, like, immediately gives a very somber mood.
Yeah, very painful.
It's already feeling like we're at the end of a journey as opposed to the beginning of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this, excuse me, The air around me still feels like a cage, and love is just a camouflage for what resembles rage. That is, to me, you know, cliches. You know, you can cut the tension in the air with a knife.
Yeah.
I think this is a relationship that they know is not going to end well, and the perceived love is a camouflage for how they really are starting to resent one another, or at least one of the parties is.
Yeah. Yeah. Things are going to end bad. It's like they already know things are going to go bad. Okay. So then we have, I know, just going to keep getting better, people. And I want everybody to listen to this song. It's an awesome song, though. So you got to, I think you have to listen to it to appreciate it. But so if you love me, let me go and run away before I know. My heart is just too dark to care. I can't destroy what isn't there. So I don't know. I feel like there it's like, you know, the whole thing, you know, you're going to get hurt, you know, just like maybe hoping that she, I'm looking at it from a guy's perspective, I guess, and I shouldn't be, but because a guy was singing it, I was thinking about it that way. But like, you know, just let me go. You're going to hurt me anyway. So just let, you know, just let me go and don't make it worse than it needs to be. What you got?
Yeah, I'm thinking along those same lines. excuse me. The and run away before I know part is what really struck a chord with me. Is, you know, if you do want to revive this, but we know this isn't a healthy relationship, you know, I'd rather not know that there's interest on your side. I'd rather not have that sliver of hope if it's just going to end in more pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me go and then get the hell out of here. Don't even give me a chance to chase you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I was kind of thinking, I don't know, I'm sure a lot of people have been in this situation where someone's even told you, like, I just can't even be your friend. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't have any sliver of anything of you in my life. You know what I mean? And so that's what I was kind of thinking too. When I read that, it's like, you got to go, but like totally go. I don't want you around at all. It's kind of how I took that. So,
yeah. And I think that is most of the time a necessary component to moving on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to, you know, just imagine, I'm just going to throw out a ridiculous scenario here. Maybe not so ridiculous because it's something I actually encountered in my misspent 2003 that we touched on last week. Imagine
the year of innocence. No, I'm just kidding.
Right? That was my dumpster fire year. But you get divorced, but your ex doesn't move out of the house. Like, it's, you're not going to be able to rebuild if every time you turn around, it's like Stevie Nicks and her 47 exes in Fleetwood Mac, that they're always right there.
Yes.
You know, there's, you need a clean break to let the healing process begin.
Mm-hmm.
I cited that example. Just a quick sidebar here. I had been talking to a young lady way back in the year of our Lord 2003 who invited me to her place. And when I got there, sure as shit, there's a dude just there. So I'm like,
hey. Oh my.
Like, hey man, how's it going? What's up? You know, I'm like, this is weird, but I've already driven 15 minutes. So I'm not going back.
15 minutes? My God.
So we're hanging out watching Train Spotting.
Oh my.
And we just get to talking, and he's like, yeah, this is my ex-wife. And I'm like, oh no. Like, this is not going to be a good situation for me. I can already tell. Like, I'm either about to get robbed.
Oh, my God.
Or,
yeah.
Or this is a group party situation.
How long did you stay over? No, just kidding.
Well, so I was making breakfast the next day.
Get to the real meat of what happened.
No. They broke out some extracurriculars, and I just went ahead and excused myself politely and never went back.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Well, I mean, there are unconventional things like money or, you know what I mean? Like, well, I mean, I think in the end it all ends up being excused. But there are a lot of people that live in those weird situations like, well, we had a lease and we can't get out of it or, you know, whatever. And it's like, I agree. You got to let go to move on. So yeah, I got it.
Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn made a shitty movie about it. I remember yes. that vividly.
That's awesome. Oh, well, I'm sure we'll hear more about that year 2003 as the show goes on.
Oh, boy, that's a floodgate that we've already gone way too deep into.
I feel like there's a lot there you're not telling us, so.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of material there for sure. I just don't know how much of it is fit for public consumption.
All right, well, we'll go on. All right, so it has deliver me into my fate. If I'm alone, I cannot hate. I'm going to stop there, and then I'll go to the next part. And, I mean, I just think that, you know, I don't know. It just made me think, like, if you're alone, like, it's just better, you know, than being hurting or be with someone that's hurt. I mean, I guess as simple as that. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with the if I'm alone, I cannot hate line. Because oftentimes there is a resentment there when you're on the wrong side of a breakup.
Yeah.
That, you know, you really love the person and you want them back, but it doesn't express itself as such. Like the sense of loss is so strong that it turns into a very real resentment. And almost a hatred type sensation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he is pretty much begging for the relationship to end at this point. You know, deliver me into my fate. You know, please end this. Quit leading me along if this isn't going to go anywhere. You know, and if I'm alone, I cannot hate. I think he's wanting the healing process to start.
Yeah, yeah. Once that's a good way of looking at it. And then it has, I don't deserve to have you. My smile was taken long ago. If I can change, I hope I never know. So it's kind of weird. I don't know that I totally get some of that. But, I mean, I think that thing, I don't deserve to have you. Sometimes, you know, there's just people that don't – we've talked about this in other songs, but don't think they deserve good things or, you know, they're – you know, maybe people that are more depressed or self-loathing or whatever. You know, it's just like – I don't deserve you or, you know, I don't deserve to have someone like you or whatever. And I think sometimes people say that, but they don't mean it in like a negative way. But I think he means it in like he probably legitimately doesn't think he deserves this person, you know.
It's like he thinks he's a 4 and she's a 9. You know, what is it you see in me? But at the same time, it was a relationship that he was not happy in. He notes here that his smile was taken long ago. And I don't know if it's self-loathing or if it's something she has done to make him feel this way.
See, I was thinking maybe he was damaged before they met. This is my.
That is a very real possibility.
So it was like, you know, because you meet people. I know people who are like, hey, I had a real bad whatever. And no one's ever going to get that kind of love from me again. Or I'm not going to give that to somebody. You know what I mean? And so maybe it was like. He's probably already broken and depressed when they met. She made him feel good. And then it was like, this is ending already. I'm going to feel shitty again, you know? So that's kind of my thought there.
I like this line. I think it's deeper than we can even really
get into
properly. If I can change, I hope I never know.
Yeah.
Like imagine the self-loathing involved in such a thought. You know, if I'm capable of being better, like, do I really even want to know that? Like will I be angry at myself for wasting the potential? Or should I just keep going at the level I'm at and just assume this is my peak?
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult for someone like me who, in the last few years, has really strived on self-improvement.
Yeah.
And always being hard on myself, knowing that, you know, I've come a long way in various aspects of life, but, you know, there's... You can always do better.
Yeah, absolutely.
To go the inverse of that, thinking, well, no, I cannot do better, and I'd rather not know if I even have that in me. Like, that's tough for me to comprehend.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I don't know why that line of that song has always stuck out to me, but I just really don't even know why. Maybe one day I'll figure it out, so...
Hey, that's why we're here breaking down the song, to help you...
I need feedback on that line, because I'm like, I'm very confused.
David Sunday, reach out to us, man. Let us know what you think.
David will know. He will know. I have faith in that for sure. He's like the music guru for sure. So, all right. And then I still press your letters to my lips and cherish them in parts of me that savor every kiss. I couldn't face a life without your lights, but all of that was ripped apart when you refused to fight. So this is kind of like a weird thing to me because, I mean, obviously he's thinking about memories they've had together and things that he cherished about her and the light she brought to his life. But it's like he's resentful towards her for not, you know, wanting to fight more for what they had, you know, or maybe she didn't feel like he was worth the fight or whatever.
It could be that, Or it could be someone who has grown up, like you said, broken and not having seen a healthy relationship and only having seen people combative verbally or otherwise.
Yeah.
And that being how they thought love was expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you refuse to fight with me. Maybe you don't love me if you refuse to go into these conflicts with me.
That's true. I didn't even think about it that way. Look at you, Steve.
You know, I'm something of a broken person myself, so.
We all are. We really all are. Our parents, it's like, you know, they try to do the best. You hope they try to do the best they could, so.
Yo, I'm kayfabing the shit out of that because my mom just found out about this show recently. So, Mom, if you're out there, I'm good.
Oh, she knows.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, she actually apparently got out a pen and paper and wrote down how to find the song. I still don't think she's going to be able to do it, but the effort's there.
Does she have, like, do you know, like, an iPhone?
Oh, no. It's one of those government phone gimmicks. I don't know.
Stop it.
I don't understand how that works, but if she has a Podcatcher app, I will be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, because, I mean, Apple makes it so easy. Just like, oh, there's an app, you know, but there's so many of them. That's pretty awesome. I hope she figures it out. Maybe.
I hope she does not.
I know. Oh, that's interesting. All right. So then we got, so save your breath. I will not care. I think I made it very clear. You couldn't hate enough to love. Is that supposed to be enough? I was going to let you go here first.
All right. At this point, he's pretty much admitting the relationship's broken. Save your breath. I will not care. It's like he wants her to fight for him, but at the same time, he feels like it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the very least, he wants to project that to her. Like he does, it could be his protective mechanism for her not to know just how hurt he really is about this ending.
Yeah.
You couldn't hate enough to love. Is that supposed to be enough? Well, this is the only part of the song that kind of baffles me a little bit. I think that may tie into that thing I said a minute ago about only knowing toxic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if either that or just not feeling passion expressed by the other person in any way. You know, if I doing all this and I couldn't even piss you off, you know, how much could you possibly care about me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about all I got from that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's weird because a lot of people, they always be like, love and hate is so opposite, right? But like, I don't really feel that way because I feel like when you're indifferent towards somebody or you're like, they can't impact you anymore, then that's when you feel, you know, like, I feel like you love someone and then they hurt you and you hate them, but that's still like a good, that, I mean, you're still having a feeling towards them, in my opinion. And then when you just, what they do doesn't impact you or you don't think about them and really get upset or riled up, then it's like that's a better place to be. So I don't know if that's kind of how I took that, but we're never gonna know. I'm gonna tweet at him. Just kidding.
Do it. Come back with homework. I love it.
He's busy. He's got multiple bands going on. So
all right. So on our homework list now we have Moonshine, Hennessy. Figure out who Corey Taylor was in an abusive relationship with.
Yeah, we failed. We were supposed to try Hennessy before this show, I think we had said.
And find out if Eric Nelson was in love with Pink, the singer.
Yes.
That's our homework list is getting long.
I think that's the most realistic thing that's going to happen is that one right there.
In fact, as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to shoot him a text and see if I can get an answer for the next show.
See? That's the one we're going to actually do, so.
While drinking Hennessy.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Maybe. We could do a show drinking Hennessy.
That is an idea. And that is going to happen.
Okay. I'm a little bit scared.
That'll be our Christmas spectacular.
Drinking Kelly is not for everybody, but maybe we'll bring her out. We'll see
how that goes. The Songs of Friends Christmas Hennessy special is on the board.
Awesome. We're going to do it. Okay, so the next part, we got, I only wish you weren't my friend, then I could hurt you in the end. I never claimed to be a saint. My own was, Oh, I don't know if I got this right. My own was bare. Ah, do you have the lyrics here?
I just pulled up Google. It says my own was banished long ago.
Oh, it is right. Okay, it did not seem right. Yeah. That's one of those things where you sing a song and you're like, oh, I'm clearly singing that wrong all this time. You know, okay.
I'm not 100% sure that's correct either, honestly.
But yeah. I really thought it said my home was banished long ago. I don't know why. That's why it was throwing me off. But anyways, and then it took the death of hope to let you go. So, and I think like this whole thing to me, another thing in this song that relates is like, I only wish you weren't my friend, then I could hurt you. And then, cause I do think there is something when you're with somebody, you know, that you see them as a friend and you maybe don't want to hurt them in a certain way, or you hold back on maybe, you know, the things you want to say to them or the way you want to treat them. And so I feel like to him, this was someone he really did value as a friend, you know, and didn't want to hurt them too badly, I guess. What you got?
Yeah, sometimes that sense of loyalty will stop you from being able to, as hurt as you are and as the instinct may be to retaliate, you know, if there's still something there, a soft spot for that person, then yeah, it's not going to happen a lot of the times.
Yeah. Pretty sad. And then I guess about that hope part, I think the last kind of, it took the death of hope to let you go. And I think sometimes that's the thing where people, when they stay connected, when they're not together, I think sometimes it can keep that hope there. And then once they kind of sever ties and start their own life, you know, and you let go of, you know, reading into things or thinking there's hope that's not there, you know, I think that that can help you let go. Or I know that's been for me in my life anyways. So.
Oh, absolutely. If there's somebody in that relationship who desperately wants the other person back, then you know, that boundary is important. To be able to move on and to heal. Just even having a sliver of, you know, well, maybe there's a chance.
Yeah, but, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Exactly. Then, yeah, you're not going to be able to grow and move on from that person.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, all right, so then we got, so break yourself against my stones and spit your pity in my soul. You never needed any help. You sold me out to save yourself. I don't know. This part's, it was kind of, I don't know. I just thought again, like you just think that, you know, he thought she was selfish and she was putting herself first and didn't really want to give him what he needed, I guess. What'd you think there?
Yeah, this is up to this point, a pretty concise song. This part is kind of the meandering section a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything else is a pretty good narrative. And then here he kind of veers off the path a little bit. Maybe doesn't give us enough to really get the full image of what he's talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Spitting your pity into my soul, which is an amazing line, by the way, obviously he doesn't want her to feel sorry for him. And it looks like he's seeing her as more capable of being independent. You never needed any help, but you sold me out to save yourself. You know, maybe realizing that she broke this off so that she could be a functioning person and is going to leave this broken person still behind, leaving the codependent person behind who needs somebody to help them feel whole while they are out, you know, living their own life and doing better. You know, if you are on the wrong side of the breakup and you see the other person thriving, you know, even though it's not any fault of theirs, that can still be very hurtful.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. We've talked a lot about codependency on this show. Ooh, what a problem. No.
Codependency, cheating, and drinking have been our
yeah.
Triple threat.
That's our hot topics. Okay. And then it said, and I won't listen to your shame. You ran away. You're all the same. Angels lie to keep control. And I, you know, for this part, like, and I don't know, you know, in my mind, it's like to him, everybody just runs away. Everything goes bad, so fuck you all or whatever. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of just, I mean, it's simple, I guess, to me. But, you know, I just think in life sometimes it can be easy to feel abandoned. And when you go through things, you can just feel like, fuck, everybody's just, it's, you know, maybe not the best, you know, like, but I think in the last year, I was like, okay, my dad died. I went through a divorce. It was like, those are things that can make you feel very, like, crappy or abandoned or whatever. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you got to
you got to grow from the pain that you go through, basically. And I always think of it like when bad shit happens, you're going to grow from it and hopefully be good. You know, like even the dark times will probably be a gift sometimes. It's just hard to see it when you're going through it, you know? So.
Yeah, this angels lie to keep control is somebody who's always struggled with women. And, and seeing them as, you know, you ran away, you're all the same. Angels lie to keep control. Ooh, my love was punished long ago. He is not just taking this out against the woman he had the relationship with. He is like, oh, it's another one that broke my heart. This is some real scary incel type emoting here.
Yeah. He's a woman hater.
He's getting that way for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to find himself in an apartment watching Train Spotting with a woman in... And her ex-husband, if he's not careful.
Was there children in the house, too?
If there were, they were asleep. I don't. Okay. I never saw a child. I'll say that.
Hope you didn't leave a child, though. I'm just kidding. Okay. So.
No, shit. I did not.
That it just has, you know, the last line, if you still care, don't ever let me know. Which, I mean, I think it's kind of the same thing. I mean, it's like... If you have anything for me or anything you know, left for me or you think it's at all, just don't do it. Like, I just don't want to be a part of it. So no,
it's the wedding singer when Linda comes back and fucking steals his Van Halen shirt. It's like he's just now doing all right. You know, he had kind of a setback and then he gets home and his ex-girlfriend is there.
Yes.
See, it all comes
back. One of my favorite movies.
It all comes back to the wedding singer. A beautiful metaphor for life, that movie.
It really is. It really is. This is a very sad song, but it's a great song. And I'm one of those people when I have, like, when I'm going through bad shit, I can listen to a song like this, like, 20 times in a row. So it's probably very unhealthy, but I think it's a great song. So.
Yeah, Nation, if you have not heard the song, I do implore you guys to give it a listen. Just listen to the Slipknot version, but that Corey Taylor live version. Is an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Because he's there with a crowd of people who clearly are familiar with his work. And you have everybody just, it's amazing energy.
Yeah. It's actually that's like a whole concert you can watch. I think it's like an hour and a half or so. I've actually watched it. And it's pretty good. So.
All right, guys. Part of what we do on the show here is to reveal our picks for next week. This week I went first and next week it will be Kelly. Kelly, what is your pick for next time?
Okay, so next week we are going to do a Bush song, and we're going to do "Come Down." And I'm giving this song. I'm saying it's a request by Jason Sherman. So I know he likes Bush, and I don't think there's a lot of songs that, you know, I feel like their lyrics are kind of, but I love this song. So.
All right, and I am going to surprise you here.
Oh my gosh!
I am going with "Stained." So Far Away.
My goodness. Okay.
I went with "Stained" because...
I'm going to cry. No.
up until this point in Stained's history, all of their... I won't say all of their songs because that's not fair. But all of their songs that I was familiar with was very I'm a sad sack of shit kind of music. Mm-hmm. And this was an optimistic turn in a bit of a change. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a good time to get into that song.
I'm so excited. Awesome. Cool.
All right, guys. Just a quick in-house note. I say we're doing those songs next time, but there may be another episode wedged in between. We've been trying to get with a guest. We were shunned tonight for playoff baseball. But,
which is understandable.
Says you. My feelings
October is a wonderful sports time, so you don't understand this, Steve.
My feelings are hurt, and I'm just going to... I'm going to be real, real sassy about it.
Damn him.
Also, I am in the midst of preparing for a move. So there may be a little bit of a delay in the recording schedule. We're not on hiatus or anything like that. There may be a week or two where we're just not around. Nothing big. I'm just getting settled into a new place and getting internet set up and whatnot. So we are sticking around for the long haul, guys. Kelly, anything you want to plug tonight?
You can just follow me on Twitter, Instagram at KelGene17.
All right. You could follow me at NotDrDeath on Twitter. That's NotDrDeath. Again, my account is currently locked, but if you want to send me a follower request, go ahead and I'll probably take it. You can follow the show proper at PTBN_songs. Podcast-wise, I recently appeared on the 500th episode of the Place to Be Nation, or the Place to Be podcast, Mothership, in which I fared terribly in the trivia contest. So if you want to hear me stammer my way through an entire round, you can feel free to do that. There's a lot of other great programming on that show, too, so I recommend that listen for everybody. And congrats to Scott and Justin for reaching that milestone. Email inbox is open, ptbnsongswithfriends@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us again, guys. We will talk to you next time.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceForNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place for Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceForNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceForNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceForNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We'll be right back.